I was not the smallest kid. And for that, I think I was bullied and oftentimes picked on for that. And I carried a lot of that shame and guilt wrapped around my body into my early adulthood. And in my early 20s, I really started becoming quite obsessed with working out and, you know, the idea of eating clean, and it just consumed me. I went through quite a big weight loss transformation, and the weight doesn't matter at this point, but I think what matters is the obsession that came with that and trying to maintain weight loss and keep losing it.
Welcome to the Blonde Bites podcast. I'm your host, Emma Nazowitz, a nutritionist, intuitive eating coach, speaker, and body positive activist. This is where I help you navigate the messy and the magical path to loving your body and your plate. Think of this as happy hour with your bestie mixed with inspiration, tips, and real life conversations. This is a Blonde Bites podcast. I am so excited for today's episode. I have Shelby here from Shelby Say What blog, and we are going to be hearing from her about her journey to self-love and acceptance through motherhood and beyond. So, hey, Shelby.
Hi.
How are you?
I am so happy to be here.
Awesome. So for the listeners who aren't following you on Instagram or TikTok or read your blog, can you do a little introduction for us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. I first want to say, though, I'm like so flattered to be here, Emma, because your story has like touched me. I like saw you first on GMA and it really transitioned my like personal journey into self-love. So I got to give you major kudos right now.
The best.
Yes, of course. But outside of that, you can follow me. I'm Shelby Say What blog on Instagram. But really, I'm just a mom. I'm learning to go through self-love and working through my body image all online. I'm a blogger and I am a full-time stay-at-home mom to my daughter, Maisie, who's just a little over a year old.
Awesome. Maisie is absolutely adorable. So if you guys don't follow her, I'm going to put a link to her Instagram in the show notes, but definitely give her a follow. I mean, I'm obsessed with all your content. You've been getting a lot of praise and a lot of really amazing reshares for you, which I know is great for you, for your community. And you've just been growing and it's been amazing to kind of watch you grow and share your journey and share your mishaps and share things that you've been loving, things you haven't been. And it's amazing to kind of watch you grow and, you know, be along for the journey with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I think there's something to be said when you speak from just, you know, your most truthful place. It really resonates with people. And I think that's where all the reshares and all of, you know, the great support's coming from. It's just speaking from like your authentic self.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's just dive right in. So tell us a little bit about your journey, like your overall body image and your health journey.
Yeah, well, that's always a long one, I feel like, for anyone. That's a lot to unpack. But if I were to give you the short of it, I mean, it really starts in adolescence, right? Like, I feel where most of our journey does start with health, body image, and our relationship with food. I was not the smallest kid, and for that, I think I was bullied and oftentimes picked on for that, and I carried a lot of that shame and guilt wrapped around my body into my early adulthood. And in my early 20s, I really started becoming quite obsessed with working out and, you know, the idea of eating clean, and it just consumed me. I went through quite a big weight loss transformation, and the weight doesn't matter at this point, but I think what matters is the obsession that came with that and trying to maintain weight loss and keep losing it because it was glorified for me. I shared it publicly on my Instagram and I got so much praise and admiration from that it really kind of fueled me. And I don't think I clearly understood, you know, my deep-rooted body image until I became pregnant, actually, where I was faced to say, am I actually happy or am I just constantly trying to lose weight in order to seem happy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have kids yet, but I can't even imagine kind of going through that struggle of getting all the praise and admiration from weight loss. And then now your body's starting to change. And was it hard for you to kind of accept that change?
Absolutely. I mean, I can remember multiple visits where I would break down after, because every appointment you go into when you're pregnant, you go on the scale, right? And for so long, even during my weight loss journey, I avoided the scale. So when I was forced to step on it and see the numbers go up and that was out of my control, I was completely losing it. Luckily, I was in therapy during my pregnancy. And so I worked through a lot of this with my therapist quite often. But yeah, it was really challenging. It was really, really tough.
Yeah, I bet. So can you tell me a little bit of how your relationship with food was during this specific time?
During pregnancy specifically?
Yeah, like during this time when your body was starting to change during pregnancy, when you were kind of shifting from that weight loss type of mindset to now carrying a baby, how was your relationship with food? Did it change at all?
Oh, absolutely. It completely changed. So I'll be quite honest. I had a very blessed pregnancy as there were no complications. My daughter was, you know, healthy and good. However, I was very, very sick. I was sick from the very beginning. I'd say about like 4 weeks pregnant, I couldn't really get out of bed. I was constantly throwing up. And so with that came like a lack of eating in the very beginning. And then when you started to, you know, really feel like you needed to eat, it just, you felt the restriction play in again. And then when you wanted to eat, you almost felt like you were binging. So it almost brought me back to disordered eating, but in a whole new level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So during this time, how do you think having a baby kind of affected your body image?
So that's a really interesting question because I get that quite often. I feel like while I was having Maisie, I was really forced to think like, do I love myself regardless of not losing weight? And then after I had Maisie, I think it just becomes so clear once you have a kid, the impact you not only have on yourself when it comes to your body image, but the impact you're going to have on your children. Because very early on, you see these little humans watching you and watching your behaviors. And it doesn't have to be said out loud, I don't like my body. You know, you can be standing in front of a mirror and the way your body language shows up in front of a mirror will say everything. So for me, it was very evident during pregnancy and after I was struggling with my body image really, really hard.
So what did you find yourself doing during that time to kind of switch it to where you are today?
That's a great question. So I feel like during my pregnancy, I was already trying to lean in and find other women, you know, who were pushing a different narrative than what I was used to hearing. So I think for so long, I was wrapped up in like fitness and the pursuit of health if it meant weight loss. So I started following new women who were really practicing intuitive movement and intuitive eating, because I found that to be a whole different mindset, one where you don't focus on your body as much. And then from there, after I had Maisie, I just started really diving into reading about intuitive eating, reading about body positivity, and finding accounts like yourself was so helpful for me because I was reading other stories of real women who had walked similar paths to me, quite possibly where they were, you know, really obsessed with exercise and health. And when I say health, I mean health in the pursuit of weight loss. And they were able to completely flip the script. So for me, it's, you know, constantly plugging in and reading and researching, quite literally treating it like homework for self-care, because this is something you have to completely unlearn, because our whole entire lives, we've been made to believe, you know, dieting is the best way to live, you know, becoming a smaller version of yourself is the best way to live. And that's just not true.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of, I want to kind of go back a little bit to when you said your body image really switched because now you kind of have this little human staring at you and, you know, watching you. Do you find it easier or harder to practice having a positive body image now that you have a baby and specifically a baby girl? Because we know, although body image issues can, you know, affect men as well, but I really think it is kind of targeted towards girls and women. So do you think it's gonna, do you find it easier or harder?
You know, that's a really good question. I think my why is just so much greater now that it almost makes it easier. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
As a mom, I now recognize, you know, the way I'm gonna show up to the mirror is the same way my daughter is gonna show up to the mirror. And I've even had moments where I think, well, maybe, you know, Maisie will live in a thin, privileged body and won't struggle with what I have struggled with, but body image and body insecurities really don't discriminate. And I think it all starts with self-talk. And I always want to have an open dialogue. So if I can do that for myself, I can do it for my daughter. So I've almost found motherhood to be that challenge I've needed to really dive into self-love.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think so too, like you said, you know, it's really about what she's going to be surrounding herself with. And hopefully me, you, and all the other women across the world that are practicing, you know, self-confidence and body love and really showing that normal bodies should be normalized, that hopefully she won't have to grow up in a world when she's older and can take on social media and take on whatever media is in the world at that time, that the message will maybe be a little bit different. So hopefully she can hear this podcast when she's older and it can help give her some insights and, you know, maybe just a little different
narrative.
Narrative. Yes. So she'll have a different narrative.
Well, I think you're so right, because it's like, it's even those little conversations growing up that you hear girls having in the cafeteria or like in the locker room. And I hope my daughter is able to be one that can challenge the girls that may be saying something that maybe isn't necessarily offensive to her, but is offensive to another girl. Like, can she take that and change those conversations? And that's really what I'm hoping I can do, and I see yourself doing for the future generations, is, you know, challenging them to see that, confront it, and, you know, be able to build everyone up, because everybody's beautiful.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I love that so much. So what are some of the lessons around body image and self-love that you want to instill in your daughter?
I think, frankly, it's just that every body is different. I know if I could have been told that from the very beginning, I question where I'd be today, you know? I love this. I see this quote circulate Instagram quite a bit, but it's, you know, if we all worked out and ate the same, we would all still have very different bodies. And I want her, I want the future generations to understand that. Health doesn't look like one body type. So we have to be very mindful of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that quote. It's just, it's so true. And I think it's one of those quotes that opens people's eyes and they're like, huh, I never thought of it that way.
It totally does. And I think it was actually one of the first quotes that made someone like myself, who was so, you know, obsessed with my appearance, kind of question, being like, huh, you know, there's some truth to this.
Absolutely. So did you feel pressure to kind of quote unquote bounce back after giving birth?
Absolutely. The pressure is so high. I mean, you can't even like walk out of the grocery store without seeing a magazine or a tabloid that's like how she lost 15 pounds 3 weeks after having a baby. You know, there's so much pressure for women to shed their baby weight instead of embracing your body growing. And maybe there's nothing wrong with your body simply growing and staying there. And I think that's what was frustrating me. And that's essentially why I decided to step out on my platform and be like, hey, my body's grown. I'm tired of trying to change it. My body knows exactly what it needs from me and it knows how to love me right now at this point, and I don't need to bounce back. I think the bounce back mentality is so detrimental to women. And just reinforces that, like, we constantly want to see women smaller. And I don't want to see anyone smaller. I want everyone to just be confident how they are.
Absolutely. And what I've been loving seeing is Ashley Graham. I'm sure you probably follow her on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
But seeing her journey to motherhood and her showing all the realness, like no censorship, exactly what bodies do. And it's so important for new moms or, you know, soon to be mothers to see that, because I feel like sometimes the media, especially through, you know, just people being famous and their journeys, and they have this beautiful pregnancy, and then 2 weeks later, they're back to looking like they never even had a child. And it's just so unrealistic. So I think it's really amazing that her, and I'm sure other women, and you yourself as well, have shown what it actually looks like. I know I personally read your birth story on your blog. I remember you posting it on your stories. And it was so, first of all, it was amazing to read that you actually had like a great birth, because I feel like sometimes you hear like horror stories.
Yes.
So I actually loved reading that. And if you guys have not read it, I'll put a link to it in the show notes so you can read her birthing story as well. But I think it's really great that you were able to share that, because I think it's perfect for people to understand both sides of the spectrum and know that there's not one side that's right and one side that's wrong, that you kind of maybe will fall in between.
I'm so glad you said that. And I'm actually so flattered you read that post, because that's the exact reason why I made that post, that blog post, was because I wanted women to know. I thought before I had Maisie, I was reading so many horror stories. And, you know, motherhood is packed with so many so many surprising moments, I should say. And having a good pregnancy or not having a good pregnancy, it's all normal because motherhood looks different on everyone, but it's messy, it's raw, it's real. And I think that's why it's so easy for me to speak about this stuff, because there's nothing more real, more candid, more vulnerable than motherhood. So being able to speak out on my body comes quite easy after you've had a baby, to be perfectly honest.
Absolutely. So on your Instagram, do you find new moms coming to you to ask like for advice?
You know, it's funny you ask that. I don't necessarily get like advice so much as I get, you know, I've been following you for a few months and now I'm finally adjusted to the fact that I don't have to bounce back. So it just goes back to your first question about the bounce back culture. It's so, so real. And so many moms feel that pressure. And if anything, they're relieved to hear that there's a mom saying, you know what? I don't need to bounce back. I'm perfectly fine the way I am, and I'm going to show up exactly as I am. If they ask for any advice, it's how do I just simply not care? And it's not a matter of not caring. I absolutely care. I think that's human nature to care what other people think of us. However, I just prioritize myself before anyone else. And that's what you have to do when you're going to go into a self-love journey. You have to put yourself first. You have to prioritize the things that matter. And at the end of the day, you and your baby are always going to be number one. How you look, it will not matter. Does your baby care how you look? Absolutely not. Your baby just wants you to love them unconditionally, and that's going to be your main focus. And I think that's how I find it so easy to, I guess, essentially not care.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's something I get too. I mean, obviously not with motherhood, but people say, how are you so confident? Or how can you just, you know, wear a crop top or wear a bikini? And I'm like, well, it's not because I don't care, but it's because you have to take the steps to love yourself first. Exactly what you said, you know, put yourself first, love yourself first, and then the rest will kind of start to fall into place.
Yeah. And so then to add on to that, Emma, if you don't mind, I think it's really imperative that people know that there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes. It's not as simple as someone coming on and simply saying, I've decided to wear a crop top today and I don't care. I mean, you know, and I know it. There's just so much like homework, I call it, between learning and investing in self-love that's imperative to actually getting to a point where you can really say, I love myself as I am.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that before we continue on. What are some things that you have specifically done for your self-love journey to help you in that department?
Well, first of all, I think the easiest thing anyone can do is curate their Instagram. So, you know, do a whole Instagram detox and really build your Instagram around pages that show women from all walks of life. And I'm talking like fat positive, disabled bodies, you know, people who are different skin colors. Like, you really got to have the whole spectrum of womanhood represented on your feed. Because if you don't, and you only have like the fashion blogger, and we all know what I'm talking about, you're never going to leave your Instagram feeling good. You're simply going to, it's going to become a comparison trap. So you really have to take your Instagram and evolve it to something that's going to make you feel good every single time you get on. If you're leaving your Instagram and you're feeling worse about yourself, there's something wrong. And I think the other thing would just be, I'm a big reader, so I love to invest in books that talk about intuitive movement, intuitive eating, body positivity. I think there's so much we can learn from others, so I'm a big reader.
That's awesome. Yeah, and what I love about that is I'm specifically not a big reader, but I'm a big listener. So I love doing ebooks. I love doing, you know, audiobooks. For me, it's just the easiest way for me to get my information in. And yeah, I think there's so much value in all of the books. Is there a specific book that kind of sticks out for you that maybe we can put in the show notes for the readers to check out? Like, is there one book that like sticks out in your mind that you think helped you the most?
Yes. I think for me, I love like autobiographies because you can relate to the person so much. Like, another reason why I love podcasts, because I get to sit down and I feel like I'm having a cup of coffee with Emma. So one book I think I could recommend that I think is a great starter is actually by the Body Positive Panda, if anyone follows her on Instagram. But she wrote a book, I think it's called Body Positive Power. And I love it. So we'll definitely put that in the show notes. But that one I think is great because she kind of goes through her own journey of how she found self-love. And I think it's quite relatable.
That's great. Yeah, I've seen that book. I have not listened or read it yet. So I'm going to put that on my next up list. So thank you so much for sharing that. So is there any other pieces of advice that you want to talk about?
I think really if we were to go back to just like pregnancy, because I think pregnancy can be such an eye-opening experience for most women when it comes to self-love. I think it's so, I'm trying to find the words for it. Like, I think pregnancy really forces, like, I can think of myself when I was like having cravings and not allowing myself to indulge in those cravings. A lot of your disordered eating and your eating disordered habits can kind of come to a forefront. So for me during pregnancy, it was really imperative that I was working with a therapist alongside, especially your first pregnancy. Especially if you're coming from a place like myself where I was obsessed with working out, you know, like obsessed with calorie counting. It's not just growing a human, you're evolving yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really good. I never kind of thought of it that way, but absolutely. Because I feel like women always kind of put the connotation on that, you know, you're eating for two, you know, which you are technically, like if you want to, biologically speaking, you are.
Yeah.
But throughout that, you're also, you know, evolving yourself, like you said, and you're evolving your relationship with food. And maybe you're allowing yourself to have these foods that you haven't because you've restricted them for so long because of diet culture and because of wanting to change your body. And now you're finally letting yourself free to have satisfying meals and, you know, have meals that are what you've been craving for so long.
That too. And like for me, because I had such a sick pregnancy, movement changed for me. I could hardly work out. And for someone who obsessively worked out for 7 years, I mean, I can remember in the beginning of my 20s, I cut back hours at work and at school just to prioritize working out. So when pregnancy hit me and I was sick and I was forced to not work out, it really makes you question your motives of why am I forcing this movement on myself? Is it joyful movement, or is this movement I feel that I have to do out of pressure to appear some way to other people?
Absolutely. So where do you find yourself now with exercise and joyful movement? Do you find that your reasons behind working out are different?
Oh, absolutely. I think if anything, it's allowed me to explore more options of what does Shelby actually like to do for physical activity. And I think for me, I really downplayed walking. I love being outside. I love going on a walk, especially with my baby, because I can put her in the stroller, throw in a podcast, and we're out for an hour on a walk. And during this pandemic too, like, gosh, I'm so grateful. I looked into intuitive movement because, you know, a lot of people who maybe were going to the gym were big gym goers. I'm sure this was a very hard moment for them. They really had to take the back seat and be like, well, what can I do from home? So love walking. I found that I really like weightlifting, and that's mainly just so I can like pump up my good music. You know, we all have that playlist we love. Yeah. But what's cool about all of this is like, as I'm telling you what I love to do for workouts, I'm smiling. And I don't know if I would have been able to do the same, you know, 2 years ago before I had Maisie. It was just like a known thing I had to work out. And now it's like, I work out because it makes me happy.
Absolutely. And do you feel that you feel different after your workouts now as opposed to 2 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there were times where I'd crash on the floor simply from a workout before because I overexerted myself. I never knew when to hit stop. But now I can be like, 20 minutes done, that was enough for me. It's like I'm so in tune with listening to my body during my workouts. That has been the biggest transformation.
I love that. So what is one piece of advice that you wish you had growing up?
I think it's simply that, you know, every body is designed to look and perform differently. I think there are moments where I came home after feeling bullied or, you know, called a name that I simply wish it just would have been okay to be me and not feel like, okay, well, then we'll find you a diet. We'll start, you know, putting you on an exercise program. It's just like, why couldn't I have just been enough? You know? So I think it's just knowing that like we are exactly okay being who we are at that very moment. And no one is going to love us more than our body right now.
Absolutely. So tell me, what are some of your passions?
Well, right now, I really do love being a storyteller. So obviously, like I started my blog back in 2016, and Instagram always feels like a mini blog. I'm sure other bloggers could agree. I love storytelling. I love writing. But outside of that, I love gardening. I love being with my baby girl and our family. I'm a big board game person. We're really into backgammon right now. We just learned how to play, and I'm quite literally obsessed, mainly because I win all the time. So like a board game that I can win, like I'm always like, yeah, that's a keeper. We can play this every night. So yeah. I'm dominating in that department. And other than that, like I'm a sucker for some good reality TV. So right now I'm binging Big Brother and I'm very obsessed.
Awesome. So what's next for you? So I know you've been gaining a lot of traction with your Instagram. What do you think is next for Shelby Say What Blog?
Such a good question. And I think about that often. I think for me, I would just love to continue to grow my platform with a community of women who are like-minded and just want to challenge the narratives that we've been taught and kind of unlearn together. Because someone like myself, I always like to be transparent. I'm like, look, I'm in the beginning of my journey here, but I'd love for everyone to come with me and not feel intimidated and feel like I've been doing this for so long. So let's walk this path together. I think I would love the opportunity to, you know, public speak, do podcasts like we're doing right now, just to share my journey and get it out there. Because I just think there's so much value in people telling their stories, because someone will connect with it and it will make a difference. I just love the impact we all can have. So really growing my impact.
I love that. And how did you specifically stop comparing your post baby body to other people's?
Yeah, that took a lot of work. Honestly, outside of like detoxing my Instagram and finding really good accounts that didn't focus so much on the appearance, because you have to understand, like my Instagram before was curated around a lot of fitness accounts that, you know, praised when girls were able to get back into their, you know, pre-baby jeans. And I had to stop following that sort of narrative because it wasn't healthy for me. I just got to a point where I was like, maybe I don't want to fit back into my pre-baby jeans, or maybe it won't happen for me. And that's perfectly okay. So I just had to be really mindful about who I was interacting with online. And then also the conversations I was having with people around my body after pregnancy, you know, letting people know that like, no, I'm not killing myself every day and trying to get on the treadmill to lose the baby weight. Like, I'm just perfectly happy spending time with my baby and making that the focus.
I love that. Okay, well, thank you so much, Shelby, for coming on and talking with us and sharing your journey and sharing your story. And for our listeners that are not following Shelby, you can find her on Instagram at Shelby Say What Blog. And you're pretty big on TikTok now. I actually love your TikToks. I'm trying to pick up my TikTok game over here.
TikTok is fun. I will help you if you ever need help, but I am a big fan of TikTok.
All right. So other than that, Shelby, can you let us know your exact blog URL?
Yeah. So it's www.shelbysaywhat.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Shelby. It was so amazing chatting with you.
I had the best time. Thank you, Emma.
That's it for today. Some of the best connections happen after the show, so I want you to find me on Instagram at Nutritional Blonde or at Blonde Bites Podcast and tell me what you thought of today's episode. And make sure you subscribe so that you can be the first to listen to an all-new episode next week.